From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of May, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce will be here from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Oh, and Daryl Good, at least some of what Daryl Good has been writing on the Farm Doc Daily website, along with Scott Irwin, about the accuracy of the ending stocks figures over time in a given year, that is, from the United States Department of Agriculture. That'll all come up during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
In Chicago for this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day with the nearby July soft red winter wheat down 6¾ cents at $6.52 and a half. September at $6.63¾, down 6¼. And the hard red finished the July at $7.45, down 6¾. July corn futures at $4.78, a penny and a quarter higher. September at $4.75 and a half, up 1½. And December at $4.75 and a quarter, up 1¾. That's your new crop. March corn at $4.84 and three quarters, 2 cents higher, and May futures up to at $4.91. July beans at $15.15 and a half, down 3¼. August at $14.45 and a half, down 2½. And September soybeans, $13.20 and three quarters, down 6½ cents today. November $12.65 and three quarters, a nickel lower, and January futures $12.71 and a quarter, down 4¾. July of next year at $12.79, down 3. July bean meal at $5.02.60, up $1.10. Bean oil at $40.38 in the lead. July down 48 cents. June live cattle at $136.30, we're down $1.30, and the August feeders at $192.85, finished $2.52 and a half cents lower. September feeder cattle at $194.15, we're down $2.40. By the way, the August live cattle at $137.12 and a half, we're down $1.52 and a half. And June lean hogs today at $116.85, finished 75 cents lower. You can always tune in to us anytime you'd like on one of our many radio stations, or at willag.org. And if you can't do that, just dial this number. It's voicemail, but updated at 10:15 and 3:15 each business day, 217-333-3434. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract for the day, $104.35, up 61 cents. RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $3.02 and a tenth of a cent. That's a penny and a half higher. Ethanol futures at $2.32 and a half, up 1½. And the difference between those two, or the spread, is now 69 and six-tenths of a cent wide. That's 4 tenths of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.40 and four-tenths, up 4½ cents. Diesel fuel down, or rather up 0.4 cents, $2.95 and a half a gallon. And the June gold at $1,291.70 a troy ounce, down $3.30. The U.S. dollar at 80.36. That's up a up 0.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 76 degrees on a north-northeast wind. That'll come at just about 9 miles per hour for the afternoon. And then once we get to this evening, we'll see mostly clear skies and a low of 48 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 77 with the winds out of the east-southeast by then at about 6 miles an hour. Clear tomorrow evening with a low of 54. East-southeast winds will continue light. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 82. South winds at 5 to 8. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 64. And on Memorial Day, partly sunny, a beautiful day, high of 86 degrees. Mostly cloudy Monday evening with a low of 66. And Tuesday, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 85 degrees. Mostly cloudy with a low of 63 on Tuesday evening. Wednesday, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny, a high of 80 degrees, partly cloudy on Wednesday night and 63. And on Thursday of next week, mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. This is Illinois Public Media. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us at willag.org. It's the 23rd day of May. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line for a Friday afternoon. As usual, Mike Zuzalo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Memorial Day to you. I get kind of excited on this weekend to honor our veterans and the loved ones we've lost. It's kind of nice to go back and think about some of those memories, isn't it?
It is absolutely a wonderful thing, and do you know, and I'll tell this story during Monday's show. We will have a program. It's pre-produced on Monday. But that the reason we use poppies is because to celebrate Memorial Day and memorial of those fallen heroes is that Flanders Fields,
you bet,
in near Belgium in Ypres, after they were drained and thousands of young men were left in those fields, that's where they fought the Germans in trench warfare. The poppies sprang up, and so each Memorial Day, we honor them and their memory.
Yeah, I believe that was a poem by a military fellow that he was, I think, a physician or a chaplain or something in World War One. I didn't realize this, but I guess on Memorial Day, you're not supposed to fly the flag at full staff until afternoon, and after the noon hour, I guess you're supposed to fly it at half staff until noon. And I never knew that until doing some research this week.
Oh, wow. I did not know that either.
Yeah,
so
indeed.
Thank you for
that.
We'll
see if some of our vets call in and say that's right or wrong. I'd like to hear from them and see if that's right or not.
Well, maybe they could call in or they can email me at tgleason@illinois.edu if you do that before the end of the show. I'll confirm it during the show today. Thanks so much. Let's talk about the marketplace just a little bit. An interesting week in Chicago. Especially in the soybeans where we gained, 49 cents in the nearby July for the week.
Yeah, we finally started to see that cash squeeze in the meal market. You know, if you look at the percentage gains and losses for the week, July meal up almost 5%, which led the July beans up about 3.5%. And we're going to probably add about $20 or so a ton to the Gulf price. We're running right around $590 a ton as of today's close, Todd. That's really close to where we were a year ago. And that puts us back up to levels not seen since June, July of last year. So we are indeed seeing a similar seasonal and fundamental pattern that we saw last year after the May USDA report. And I think bottom lining it out is that the trade this week saw total export commitments running at 1.65 billion bushels against USDA's 1.6 billion bushels. And we have to go back and refigure our number of days of usage on beans. And USDA said in this month's report it was 14 days. And I think the trade is starting to believe without Chinese cancellations, without attracting more imports into this country, it's probably more like 10 to 11 days. And so that's why your Midwest meal price right now is exactly the same price as your Gulf meal price. And that's because the beans need to stay at home for the crusher.
Well, they need to stay at home for the crusher, and I suppose that means, and I don't know whether it means any more of a leap in the price of soybeans for the nearby July or not, for that lead option, whatever it happens to be. It's a pretty good jump for the week. It was an outside up week, a new contract high in the July beans. Is there much more upside potential? Are we high enough to keep things at bay? Do we import enough soybeans to make it all work? Do we have to go higher to settle this out?
Yeah, I think a couple things. It's unlikely that we've done enough at this point to solve the cash meal conundrum, and I say that because the research I've done would say the end user, the poultry pork person, has coverage into middle of July, late July, but the crusher, the processor servicing that end user does not have that much coverage. I think also when we talk about Chinese cancellations, the reason Chinese were talking about canceling was because of their margins and the price of beans potentially going down. I think it works in the favor of prices going up that the Chinese are less likely to cancel. The big unknown out there is the Argentine producer who continues to hold his beans as a hard currency and not export it. And that's really what we want to be watching for, is when we start to hear that prices of beans have gotten high enough, or that meal has gotten high enough at our Gulf, that the Argentine producer is willing to start selling his old crop, because they do have ample supply down there. It's just they're not letting it go. So that's probably the number one priority. Until we see that, I think the Midwest crusher is still going to have to bid up to get his needs covered.
All well and good, but I suppose we really need to concentrate on the new crop or the November soybeans and maybe even further out for next year for the Argentinian and Brazilian or South American farmer
as they look
forward and try to figure out how many acres they want to put in the ground, what we would consider their spring, but our fall. And $12.65¾ and higher, up 44¼.
Yeah, and this is where it goes back to you're talking about a medium-term feature when you're talking about the acreage for the next year for South America and also some of the northern areas of the corn and spring wheat belt of this country. The words on the street and the rumor mill is that we're going to see some acres turn to beans because of this week's rally, especially if the spring wheat guys can't get in the fields over this holiday weekend. And I think that's probably pretty accurate. So the mindset would be, is China adding to the demand or are they going to cut back on the demand? And I think China's economic data, their manufacturing data this week for May, the HSBC Flash Purchasing Managers Index, which is a pretty good guide, is still in contraction. And so I think your demand overall from China when it comes to the raw materials like copper, steel, and soybeans is probably on a downward trajectory, especially as prices go up. So I think 6 months from now, it's going to be tough to reproduce these type of prices unless we have a very bad stand and very hot weather in the month of August and September in this country.
Let's deal with maybe the easiest folks to deal with. If you're in the northern corn belt, we get to the 25th day of May, you decide, well, that's it, I'm not going to actually put the corn in the ground, and you don't have you don't have it covered with nitrogen, I suppose, and maybe some herbicides that you can't do soybeans. But if
right.
you decide to switch to soybeans, do you pull the trigger at the same time you switch and make sales on new crop soybeans too?
Yeah, for those later acres, I think you do at least half your hedging right away. As soon as you get in the planter, you get half that covered at these price levels, you bet. And I think that's where these spring wheat people that may be facing that, they can always leave their basis open. They may take a little bit of a hit to do a hedge-to-arrive contract, anywhere from 5 to 15 to 20 cents a bushel. It depends on how high that gets, but if it's, you know, 5 cents or less or 10 cents or less, I think a hedge-to-arrive would make sense because then if you have any localized problems, that basis should help, you know, cover you for that.
How did you view the corn market for the week?
Oh, golly, I guess the same way as I've been viewing it the last 3 weeks. The wheat premium has been continued to be sucked out of the market. The corn weather is improving, and so there's really nothing except the cash market and the corn and the bull spread that looks good as we go into the end of the week in the very short term. But, you know, wheat going down to below $260 a ton at the Gulf puts us down at levels not seen since February. And that puts us right in competitive nature with the Europeans. You've also got a 50% retracement line of our next support for hard red wheat, about 20 cents below today's close. So I want to say we're within 20, 25 cents of a near-term low in the wheat, and it could be even closer than that if we have a bad election on Sunday in the Ukraine. Things don't go well, and Russia doesn't live up to their latest talk that they're going to abide by the elections and let the Ukrainians vote.
You have a good Memorial Day weekend with your family.
You too, sir.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us from his Atchison, Kansas office on this Friday afternoon. Stay with us if you can in the second half hour of our program today. We'll air Commodity Week. If you can't, just visit our website at willag.org. By about 4 o'clock each and every Friday, we post it there. Our guest this week, Elwin Taylor at at Iowa State University Extension. He's an ag meteorologist. Dale Durkles will be here. Scott Harms and Pete Manhart. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in commodities at the CME Group in Chicago. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Congress has sent the White House a $12.3 billion water projects bill that authorizes 34 new projects over the next decade. In Iowa, the bill authorizes roughly $73.1 million in federal spending to help build up flood protections in Cedar Rapids, which suffered devastating flooding in 2008. Besides authorizing projects, the bill makes changes to how future projects can seek funding and sets specific time and cost limits for studies on potential projects. It eliminates unnecessary Army Corps of Engineers reviews and speeds up environmental reviews for potential projects. The bill also increases spending from the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund to pay for improvements to ports. U.S. and Brazilian officials met yesterday in Washington and will continue today in what is being described as a last effort to resolve a long-running dispute over U.S. cotton subsidies. U.S. officials claim that changes to the cotton program have resolved a World Trade Organization ruling that affirmed the illegality of some previous U.S. cotton program provisions. However, Brazilian cotton growers argue that new crop insurance provisions, the STACS program, actually are more trade distortive than the direct payments that the new farm bill rescinded. Brazil reportedly is weighing whether to request a WTO compliance panel as soon as next month to rule on its view of the new farm bill. A new GAO report says that the three federal agencies responsible for regulating the production, transportation, and storage of the explosive chemical fertilizer ammonium nitrate have created overlap that could allow unsafe facilities to continue operation. The GAO report highlighted lack of data sharing between oversight agencies and regulations that are outdated and inefficient. GAO investigators were unable to even identify the number and location of facilities storing ammonium nitrate. Mexico is reporting that PED virus is in 17 states out of 19 tested. Mexico has 31 states, plus the Federal District of Mexico. PEDV has killed around 7 million young pigs since it was first identified in the United States almost a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Up next, two U of I ag economists have looked at the accuracy of USDA forecast of corn ending stocks. I'll have more on their findings. You may read the full report on the accuracy of USDA ending stocks for corn on the FarmDoc Daily website. The post is written by Daryl Good and Scott Irwin. In it, the two summarize the accuracy of WASDE forecast of marketing year ending stocks of U.S. corn from 1990 to last year's harvest by marketing year. They also discuss the implications for the May 2014 WASDE ending stocks estimates that was just released by USDA. Three main implications emerge. First, they report WASDE ending stocks projections for U.S. corn across the forecasting cycle are basically unbiased, if having a slight tendency towards underestimation of the final number. Second, the first WASDE estimate of the ending stocks for U.S. corn, always released in May before harvest, has a large potential range of errors. This is sensible since the ending stocks forecast at this early point in the forecasting cycle reflects both production and usage errors. Third, there is a clear tendency for the USDA to smooth the changes in projections of year-ending stocks later in the forecast cycle. Well, here's the bottom line part for the price of old crop corn. This tendency suggests the WASDE ending stocks forecast for the 2013-14 marketing year, or the one we're now in, released earlier this month at 1.146 billion bushels to be left in the bin this fall, may be overestimated. Intriguingly, this is the reverse of the current market expectations that year-ending stocks for 13-14 will exceed the current USDA forecast. It's a price-positive change. Now, let's delve further into the report. Again, the 13-14 marketing year-ending stocks are now forecast at 1.146 billion bushels. Historical forecast errors suggest there is a 50% probability actual year-ending stocks will be between 1.21 and 1.26 billion bushels. There's been a slight bias towards underestimating year-ending stocks in this report in the past, with an average error of 49 million bushels. This bias seems to support the market's expectation that USDA has overestimated marketing year exports and therefore underestimated year-ending stocks. This last segment supports trade sentiment of a higher ending stocks number for corn, and this would put pressure on price to go lower. However, some previous University of Illinois analysis suggest errors in forecasting year-ending stocks late in the marketing year are more highly correlated with errors in forecast of feed and residual use. There is a positive relationship between the change in the ending stocks forecast in May and the error in the May forecast. If the May ending stocks number goes up, it's more likely to be associated with an even larger final ending stocks figure. The same is true if it goes down. If the April to May WASDE ending stocks figure falls, then it is associated with an even smaller final ending stocks figure. While the fit's not great, the relationship is interesting, write Daryl Good and Scott Irwin. You may read their work on the FarmDoc Daily website. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's a Friday afternoon, the 23rd day of May. Let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility is Ben Pruce. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Afternoon, Todd.
Hey, farmers in the area and maybe to the north and to the west of you, you're a little closer than we are. How far along are they with soybean planting?
Soybean planting, you're hearing all over the board from we're just getting done to we're on day one. But I do know that we've even got a few guys that have friends up in the Dakotas and such, and they're going up to help those guys plant just to get it in.
Are they going to help plant corn, or are they going up to help plant soybeans, or both?
Some of both. The farther north you go, I think it's more both. You get to a little farther south, central Minnesota and stuff, I think it's more soybeans.
In your area, what is basis like today?
Basis, like at the processors, anywhere from 10 to 15 under. Our local basis here is 30 under. Continues to firm here just a little bit. Just not a lot of corn moving throughout the countryside with the board moving, and basis just continues to firm.
Anybody taking advantage of the upswing in the soybeans?
Yes. It's the producer in the old crop beans, just pretty much. We don't have a whole lot of beans left on the farm. Being able to trade north of $12 cash on the new crop beans is pretty attractive, and we've had some pretty busy days here writing new crop bean contracts.
So how far along do you think you are at this point?
In regards to?
New crop sales.
Oh, sure. Geez, Louisa, just getting started. These guys are just they're just starting to piece into it. Yeah. I mean, less than 10%.
Yeah, just getting started. And how far on corn in the area do you think?
You'd have a hard time convincing me we're farther than 20-25% today on the corn.
That wouldn't be so terribly bad, and that'd be about par for the course, I would think, for a good portion of the Midwest.
Yeah. No, it's unfortunately the corn has moved like it has here in the last 15-20 days, and I'm just a little bit concerned that, with the weather that we've got come along, if we get continued showers and sunshine, I'm not real sure that we have a whole lot of reasons, for corn to rally.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruce. He's with the Andersons out of their Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from willag.org.
It's National Taffy Day. Taffy has been part of American life since the late 1800s and has been a beachside tradition since it appeared in Atlantic City more than 100 years ago. Joseph Freilinger is credited with making saltwater taffy popular. Freilinger observed sunbathers and boardwalk visitors and came up with the idea to sell saltwater taffy. He figured tourists would want a reminder or souvenir of their vacation to Atlantic City. As an experiment, Freilinger boxed the candy and sold it one weekend. It was an overnight success. On this day in agricultural history in 1820, James Eads was born. An American engineer, he was responsible for building the two-tier triple-arch steel bridge over the Mississippi River at St. Louis. The bridge was the first in the U.S. to use cantilevered construction, and it opened on July 4th of 1874. He also created a year-round navigation channel for New Orleans. And in 1954, Keith Campbell was born. Campbell was a key member of the science team that produced the first mammal clone, a lamb called Dolly. Dolly lived 6 years and produced six lambs. While most sheep are generally shy around humans and huddle at the back of their pens when visitors come, Dolly loved attention. She would often rush to the front of her stall when she saw people coming by, bleating loudly. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Now, Jim Angel is here, state climatologist from the Prairie Research Institute, Illinois State Water Survey, with an update of the week's weather forecast.
So far, May temperatures have been near average at 61 degrees and rainfall near average at 2.9 inches. In general, the eastern half of the state has been much wetter than the western half, with rainfall amounts running 4 to 6 inches. On the other hand, some areas between Quincy and Bloomington Normal and another area southeast of St. Louis have seen less than 2 inches of rain in May. There is some concern with the Western Crop Reporting District and the impacts of below-average rainfall on topsoil and subsoil moisture. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate a slow warming trend across Illinois for the next few days. Highs will be in the mid to upper 70s on Saturday, with overnight lows on Sunday in the mid 50s before warming into the 80s. On Memorial Day, lows will be in the mid 60s and highs will be in the mid to upper 80s with a 20 to 30% chance of rain. Tuesday will be warm as well, with highs in the low to mid 80s. Wednesday and Thursday will be a little cooler, with highs in the low 80s. Expected rainfall amounts over the next 7 days are less than an inch across the state, except for slightly higher amounts north of Interstate 80. Looking ahead, wetter than average conditions are expected through June 1st, and warmer than average conditions are expected through at least June 5th.
Our thanks to Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey for his update of the weekly weather forecast. Now here are the settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago as they changed on the week, Friday to Friday. We'll give you the overnight day trade highs and lows. July corn this week settled at $4.76. It was down 7.25 cents from last Friday's settlement price. The high at $4.82.5, the low at $4.72.5, so a 10-cent trading range for the week. December corn with a new crop down 8 cents at $4.73. July soybeans, a 15.36¾ cent settlement price. That's a new contract high. It posted an outside up week with a low at $14.56¼. Settlement price in the July beans at $15.14, up 49 cents on the week. November contract at $12.65¾. Your new crop soybeans 44¼ higher for the week. Bean meal at $5.02.60, up $22.40. Bean oil at $40.38, down 37. Soft red winter wheat, July contract $6.86 the high. Low on the week at $6.51¼. Settlement price at $6.53, down 21¼. And the July soft red $7.45, down 22¾. August live cattle futures 137.12½, outside down, posted a $1.25 loss for the week. August feeders at 192.85 were down 47½ cents, and June lean hogs on the week at $116.85 settled Friday to Friday $2.07½ lower.
You, of course, have been listening to Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.